Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Safe Ireland and Airbnb, working in partnership to support domestic violence survivors across Ireland. Welcome back to the Women's Podcast. Well, we're nearly there now. Only a couple more sleeps and I hope you're all enjoying the pre-Christmas buzz. Now, it's been a very eventful year, dominated again by the pandemic and more recently the Omicron variant and all of the rest. I mean, we didn't think we'd be here at this point, but we are. And look, the thing is, some good things did happen this year. And for one thing, as we've mentioned on this podcast, a lot of women published some brilliant books, for example. And one of those women is on the podcast today. She's Jan Brereton, a neighbour of mine, who became a poet almost overnight in the pandemic.
We'd grab an early bird at 8. We'd talk and chat and talk some more. We'd link as we walk out the door. On the bus, I'd text to say, my friend, I've had a lovely day, but fuck, what day is it? I don't have a fuck. I teach, I clean, I play, I cook.
Before we hear more from Jan Brereton, I just want to remind you on this day of days that I just have another important bit of science, because we're hearing a lot about science at the moment, but this one is really important. Just so you know, the first written account of Santa Claus having reindeer was in 1821. And since then, most people have assumed the reindeer were male. But a scientist has said that those people are probably wrong. Andrew Hebda, a zoologist at the Nova Scotia Museum, says that while both male and female reindeer have antlers, only the females have their antlers during the winter months. And basically, what that obviously means is that Rudolph, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner and Blitzen are all female. Any reindeer right now with antlers is a girl. And so, of course, that means that Santa's sleigh is pulled by a team of strong, powerful, underrated women. And I just thought it was an important point to make as we come towards that jingle bell time. And I want to wish all of our listeners a wonderful Christmas and really to thank you so much for your support this year. It's meant an awful lot. Our listenership has grown. We've had wonderful events, virtual, of course, and connections. And hopefully we've added something to your lives with all the different topics that we've covered. Thank you so much for staying with us. And I really wish you the best time you can have over the next while. Enjoy being with your families and your friends. And I hope that Santa Claus and his female reindeers bring you everything that you want. But now to today's episode. I haven't had many people face to face on the podcast all year, but the other day, Jan Brereton called round and I invited her into my bed office for a chat about the past year in her life, which has led to wonderful creative opportunities and blossoming. Jan basically became a poet this year and I just thought it was a great story to share with you all. She's a creative anyway, but poetry wasn't something she'd ever tried. And within weeks of writing her first bit of pandemic poetry, she had a book out called What Day Is It? Who Gives a Fuck? Which spoke for many of us in those very grim days of lockdown 3 in the early part of this year. The book is available in all the best bookshops and would make a great Christmas gift. And I hope you enjoy this conversation from my bed office with the wonderful Jan Brereton. And happy Christmas to all of you. Jan Brereton, you are one of a very select few people who's been in my house to record anything in the Women's Podcast. I've normally been doing this by Zoom. So it's very lovely to have you in my bed office and welcome.
Thank you. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I hope you don't get too tired and want to sneak off and take a little snooze in the bed, but you know.
You never know.
Yeah. I wanted you to come because you've had quite an interesting year, as we all have to some degree, But something's happened with you that you've had a sort of opening up, a blossoming of creativity. You're quite a creative person anyway. But I just wanted to talk about it because I think it's really interesting how even in the bleakest of times and when things are really grim, amazing things can happen. So you have become a poet during the pandemic, which is just wonderful. And would you like to tell us the story of how it happened?
Yeah, it has had a bit of a silver lining, I suppose, the pandemic for me. It was the end of January this year. And was that lockdown three?
That was the worst bit. Yeah, lockdown three. Yeah. It was homeschooling.
It was homeschooling again. Oh, yeah. And we had all kind of positively thought the kids might go back to school, and then it never happened and everything else. And the weather was crap and it was freezing, and we were going to the park all the time. And I was absolutely sick of the park. And I had this kind of internal dialogue, which was mostly cursing and me just being furious at the world and furious that I had to get up and cook again and furious that I had to teach school again and go for a walk again to the park. And I was sick of the park. And I wrote a poem, and I'd never written apart from, like, I suppose, shopping lists and things like that. I'd never written, anything really in any kind of way before. And the poem was my internal dialogue. And included all of my effing and blinding and all of my just like pure frustration, that kind of situation I was in. And it was like, I think it was about 9:30 at night. I was in bed. My 11-year-old was reading a book beside me, and I just picked up a pen and a piece of paper and scribbled this poem down. And I said to her, "I've written a poem." And she just kind of, was fairly kind of nonplussed about it. So then I ran down the stairs to my husband, like gripping the paper. I was like, "I think I wrote a poem." And he was completely lounged on the couch, picked up the remote, paused whatever it was he was watching, and looked at me and said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Will I read it for you? Would you like to read it? Did you want to read it yourself? Do you want me to read it for you?" So he was like, "I think you should read it for me." So I read it. And after I'd read it, he again asked, "Is everything all right? Are you okay? Do I need to do anything?" And I was like, "I'm brilliant." Like, I felt like I just expelled whatever the hell it was that was going on in my brain. Mm. And I texted it to you, and
I'll take up the story. I was sitting in my kitchen there, and I think I had a big glass of red wine, and it was probably late at night. It was around 11 or half 11 or something.
Oh, yeah, because I'd managed to type it up into some kind of format then. It had come off the page and into a digital
form. And I was sitting there, and this thing, and I didn't know you very well, because, like, I know you through the school because your daughter is in the same class as my daughter, so that's how we know each other. We only sort of got to know each other a little bit recently. And this poem arrived in my WhatsApp, and I read it, and I was just like, "Oh my God, this is," I felt like you just, that song, "I felt she read my letter," and that one, what is it, "Singing my pain with his fingers."
Oh, yes.
What is it? What am I trying to say?
I want to say Lauryn Hill, but she didn't do the original.
No, she did a cover of it, but it's like your man with his guitar. Or it's that woman who sang "You're So Vain." What's her name? Who used to go out with Warren Beatty.
Oh, God. What was her name?
You know what I'm talking about. We'll come back to that, listeners, in a second. I know. This is us adult now, pandemically adult brains who can't remember. But "Killing Me Softly" with his song is the thing I'm thinking. And when I read your poem, it was like you were reading my mind into all the feelings that I was feeling. And I asked you, could I put it on Twitter? Because I felt like everyone else would like to read this as well. And you said, okay. I put it on Twitter, and it went mad. Yeah. I mean, it went, like, viral is a word, but really, you couldn't have expected the kind of reaction. What was the reaction?
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing it, first of all, because I'm not on Twitter. I'm a bit
terrified. I just wanted to get some kudos for, like, sharing something so brilliant, to be honest.
No, it was great. And that really kind of launched it all for me. The feedback was amazing. Like, I think by the next day, it was just, I was getting texts from people. I got a text from my cousin saying, "Here, I just got sent your poem in a WhatsApp group, and my name wasn't even on it." Do you remember?
Because
you actually said to me, "Will you just put your name?"
I know. I forgot. We got a bit carried away. If we'd have known, we would have put your name on it straight away.
So yeah, and like I got messages from, to be fair, it was lots of women. There was men as well, sending me messages saying, "Listen, I'm there. I'm with you. Like, you're not on your own. Me too. I'm sick of the banana bread, and I'm sick of the, and the park and everything else." And so, so that was amazing. And then I got messages from all over the world saying, "I'm here in," there was a woman from India, and people in Australia and stuff, you know, and like we're here and we feel exactly the same way, you know, like it might be sunnier, maybe we don't have the rain, but it's still pretty shit. Like, so it's kind of lovely. And it was lovely then to get that sense. I mean, the word community, it's so kind of thrown around, isn't it now? But to get that sense of, okay, like we're all in this together. We're all in this shit together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's okay to call it as it is. It's shit.
Yeah. And I think those times were different. I think there was that community, that was that feeling that we were all sort of, I mean, you know, in the same sea anyway, or there was some commonality, which I think has kind of changed now. I sense it's a little bit different now. So that was quite a unique space we were all in. I think before we carry on, we should probably read it so people who don't maybe know about it can get a sense. And then talk about how, I suppose, unleashing that one poem turned you into Jan Brewton, the poet, and you couldn't stop, which is kind of amazing. So let's have this one and let's talk about that afterwards.
What day is it? Who gives a fuck? I teach, I clean, I play, I cook. This lockdown is a fucking pain. Oh, look, fuck's sake, here comes the rain. Another day, another park. I'm wishing it would just get dark. Please, no more fucking walks or yoga, baking or art with chalk. No meditation. Fuck cold sea dips and fuck your healthy eating tips. All I want is a fucking hug. A chat close up with a massive mug of tea. None of this takeout crap. I'd touch your hand, you'd slap my back. We'd laugh and talk. I'd share my cake. We'd talk about who we think is fake. We might say, fuck it, stay out late. We'd grab an early bird at 8. We'd talk and chat and talk some more. We'd link as we walk out the door. On the bus, I'd text to say, my friend, I've had a lovely day. But fuck, what day is it? I don't have a fuck. I teach, I clean, I play, I cook.
Oh my God, Jan, you've brought me right back there. And it's a place I never want to go back to.
Remember
it. Yeah, I do. I'll never forget it. But, you know, you just captured it there. And I think the interesting thing is that you are a creative person. You're a stylist in real life. You do design. You know, that is your world. But words and poetry had not been your world. But when you wrote that poem, which is amazing, you couldn't, you just couldn't stop. It was like a dam had burst in you.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't stop. And everything was kind of up for grabs. I was just like writing about how I was feeling and maybe looking around me. And I kind of had it in my head, you know, like, oh, I see feelings in people. Like, it was like, you know, I was kind of making stories up as I was watching people walk through the fucking park every day. You know what I mean? And I was sending them to you, which was lovely because I felt like I had, you know, someone to throw a pair of eyes over them that, you know, would be kind of open to that. So that was really brilliant. And I just couldn't stop. Like there was one night, I'm pretty sure I told you the story where I was in bed and Austin was asleep and there was something going through my head. And I think it was the poem, you know, and everything is shit. And I was like, oh my God, I have to write this down. And it was like a rhythm of it. And I didn't want to wake him up. So I kind of reached into the corner. I knew there was a pen there. So I got the pen. And then I was like, fuck, there's no paper. And I got up and went into the toilet and just pulled off some toilet paper and started writing on it. And I may have told you the story before. And I think you texted me back and said, keep that toilet paper. And I was like, well, I can't use it now. I'll have green ink all over my arse if I wipe myself with it. Oh, but like it literally, it just felt, it was just coming and I couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
And like on reflection, you know, they were actually all right. Like what I wrote was actually good.
Well, they certainly were, because a few months later you had a book of poetry, which is just extraordinary. It's called What Day Is It? Who Gives a Fuck? It's a beautiful little yellow book, which people can get in very cool shops like Designist and Mo Muse in the Paris Cortina Centre and loads of other places. So was that an amazing thing to you that someone wanted to publish? It's by New Island, which is a prestigious publisher, you know.
Yeah.
And here you are, who'd never written a poem before in your life, and suddenly you have a book of poetry to your name.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those. It all happened so organically. Yeah, I mean, like, so you wouldn't say, oh, it was a dream come true, because it was never, you know, it was never anything that was ever on my kind of, you know, radar. So it was just a gorgeous opportunity. And then I do drawings as well. So then some of the drawings went in with the book as well. And yeah, like it was just, you know, I remember Faith, who was like the literary agent, and she's your literary agent as well.
Yes,
I think
she's so lovely. Doesn't have much work to do with me, but you know,
she's amazing.
She's great, yeah.
But I remember Faith kind of saying to me, "No, well, does this publishers and they'd love to do a book, and what do you think, you know?" And I was like, "Well, yes, of course. Like, why would I say?" You know, I was like, "There's no one else saying, do you want a book? These people are saying we'd love to do a book with you." So, yeah, and there was lovely freedom and kind of energy and stuff given to me. And actually, that's one thing I very, very clearly remember. I remember doing one of the kind of meetings with them. Of course, it was all done by Zoom. It was like, I only met Faith like a number of weeks ago even, you know. And I remember coming off one of the meetings and saying to Austin, that's the first time in a long time where I really felt like people were listening to me. And he was like, what do you mean? And I said, like, we were talking about the cover and there was a lot of to and fro about the cover. And because I'd be quite creative, I'd been making all these little things going, what about if it looked like this and it should be this size? And they'd come with a suggestion and I'd kind of gone, yeah, no, not really into that. But naturally, I would be the type of person that would go, well, look, it's not really for me, but yeah, let's see where we can kind of meet in the middle. Mm. But straight away, they were like, no. If you don't want that, we won't be going down that road. I was just like, this is weird. Why are they not trying to turn me around to their way of thinking? Mm. It was just such a lovely experience for me from a creative perspective as well.
And the thing is, the poems are all, they're very observational. They're about the world that you're moving through, that a lot of us are moving through, whether it's the supermarket, whether it is those walks in the park or just sadnesses that people are going through. Mm. Your antennae are really sharp. And I'm going to put because I know you gave up alcohol just under 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you feel it had anything to do with that? Because I know you've spoken before about how it kind of opened you up a bit. So tell us about giving up drink, because you didn't have like a problem, like you had to go to rehab or anything, but you had a moment, didn't you, where you thought, I don't know if I want to carry on drinking alcohol.
Yeah, so it was May, not gone, but the May before. So it was still lockdowny. And I went to the shop to get a pint of milk because we'd no milk. And I came back and I had a bottle of white wine and I had 4 bottles of Bulmers for my husband. And I had the milk as well, like, but
you hadn't gone out for the wine. You'd gone out for just
in
milk.
For the dinner. But yeah, like I just mindlessly got it. And I was like, Jesus, like, where did that come from? And I suppose in a way then, obviously I was mindlessly drinking it. You know, I hadn't realised that it had become part of my day to day thing. And I just thought, how about maybe when I go down for the milk, I just get the milk the next time and I'll see how I go. And I thought I'd get through to the summer. And then I said, oh, sure, I'll see how I go till Christmas or whatever. And I just personally found I had a lot more clarity in my own thinking and I had a lot more clarity in my own kind of confidence. And I'm not massively confident, but I was able to kind of deal with that a bit better because I used to get the really bad Catholic guilt-filled hangovers. Like I said to you before, it's like I see dead people. Like I literally, you know, it'd kill me. So
there was those really dark, shameful almost times of self-loathing after a big drinking binge or just like a bottle of wine or whatever it was.
Yeah, and like it wouldn't even have to be a big drinking binge in a way because like I'd be getting the bottle of wine with the milk and then sure, you know, like you open up a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And like, to be fair, I like the feeling of having a drink. I like the fuzziness. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And so, yeah, like I just thought, you know what, let's see if I can just get on without the loving the fuzziness and the buzziness of it and everything else.
And it turned out
and
you could.
It was okay.
And you got rid of those hangovers. So do you think, going back to the clarity of thought that you feel came, do you think that helped in terms of that poem suddenly arriving and then suddenly all these other poems arriving and you looking around and seeing things really clearly in a way that so deeply resonated with lots of people? I mean, do you connect the two things?
Yeah, I do. I mean, personally, I don't know whether, you know, whether it is the case, but I personally, felt that it kind of freed me up a little bit more, that I didn't kind of have the kind of, not even like a paranoia, but almost like a second guessing of myself and my own abilities. Do you know what I mean? That doesn't seem to be as strong in me now as it was before. You know, and equally, I don't want to say like I'll never drink again, because maybe I will, and I don't want it to turn into a big thing then that I can't do. But I definitely, there's been a clarity in my kind of creativity even since I don't have it.
The new Safe Ireland Survivor Fund, in partnership with Airbnb,
enables Safe Ireland to contribute to sustainable supports for women and frontline services and to provide focused actions for children. You can play a critical role in helping to protect more women and children from abuse. Donate directly to your local domestic violence service or to the national work of Safe Ireland. Go to www.safeireland.ie for more information.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And we're going to get you to read a very Christmassy poem that not in the book that you've just written and that you sent to me, which is why I wanted you to come on, because we were looking for a little Christmassy vibe for this particular episode, seeing as we're in the thick of turkey and ham season. Actually, do you have turkey and ham? Is that your go-to Christmas dinner?
Yeah, I have it at my mom's, yeah.
Because you know the way some people have their nut roast or they have their goose or they have, you just stick with the...
Yeah, turkey and ham, like all the way. Yeah,
no, I'll be looking to find a couple of turkey and ham dinners out in various places over the season.
Do you like Brussels sprouts?
I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, me too.
Who doesn't like Brussels sprouts? I'm actually very suspicious.
My two kids.
Well, I'm suspicious of that. I don't know. Yeah, Brussels sprouts are amazing, and I'd have them other times in the year. I don't.
Oh yeah,
have them
me
at
too.
Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know what I'm fond of doing with a Brussels sprout is roasting them.
Because I believe that's very nice.
I just get turning to into a cookery show now.
Do you?
Listen, yeah, I'm going to tell you. Go and get some fresh ones and throw them in the oven with some olive oil and sea salt, and just come back to me then.
Okay.
Because they're just beautiful. They keep their moistness, but there's a kind of crunchy thing going on as well. It's lovely. Yeah, we're definitely going into cooking territory now. Yeah, I'm like Prue Leith here or something. So. It's coming on to that time where we're going to have that lovely dinner, which I should remind everyone, it's just a roast dinner, so don't get too head up. I think Grace Dent was on the podcast last episode and she said that. Just don't forget it's just a roast dinner. It is just a roast dinner.
Yeah.
But talk to me about owning kind of your creativity and seeing yourself now as a writer and a poet, and that thing where what we sometimes do is we try and push that down, or we don't want to be seen to have too much ambition, or, it all happened quite organically, like you said, but now... You are still writing poetry, so you are a writer, you're doing that. How have you adjusted to kind of that? Has that been a bit of a process?
Yeah, and I'm only probably kind of like really facing into it now, because as you know, it all just kind of unfolded very organically and very naturally. And now I'm at the stage where I'm like, okay, so do I just put that down to a lovely experience, an opportunity that happened, or am I in it? And if I'm in it, then I have to do it with intention now. So I'm still writing. I probably have the bones of another book.
Really?
Written. Yeah. And I even know what I'd like to call it. And it's really a lot of the stuff I'm writing about, weirdly, has been about kind of love and the woman and the woman's body and aging and stuff like that. And again, really simple stuff. It all rhymes. For some reason, everything rhymes. But, that's just it works for me. So yeah, and it does. It feels uncomfortable to be putting yourself out there in that way. And to refer to myself as maybe a writer or a poet. Mm. Or, you know, I've been lucky. I got to do some lovely things over the year. And I, like one of the last things I did a recording for a radio show or something, you know, the woman, when she was kind of doing my little profile, she was like, so what do I say? Are you a writer? Are you whatever? You know, because there's actually a poem in the book about some woman saying to me, you know, well, what are you? And I was like, the only thing I was really sure about was, well, I'm my age and I'm a mother.
What age are you?
I'm 46.
Right.
And I'm a mother of two.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, but what are you? Like, she wanted me to creatively express myself and tell her what I was. Am I a writer? Am I this or am I that? And like, I didn't do that. I didn't feel comfortable. But I'm definitely getting more comfortable with the uncomfortableness of that feeling, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. And what would you say then to anyone listening who's kind of on that burgeoning feeling of expressing themselves in whatever way? It could be music, it could be writing, it could be through craft. You know, we all have kind of got in touch with a few more hobbies, I think, during this time.
Yeah.
You know, would you advise people to pursue it and not second guess? Like, you've talked about that clarity.
Yeah.
When something sort of seems to be bubbling up, like, you gave it full expression.
Yeah.
You didn't damp it down. You didn't tell yourself, what are you talking about? You're, you know, you're a silly woman or something like that, which sometimes we do.
Yeah.
So what would you say to anyone who's kind of feeling maybe the burst of a bit of creativity coming up?
Just go for it. Do it and share it. You know, and I think sharing it is the nice thing. I think often with creativity and with art and, you know, music, anything like that, writing and stuff, you know, it's there to be shared, you know, unless it's a personal diary or something. But, you know, that really worked for me. And that's where I've gotten a lot of, you know, kind of positivity myself. But it's stuff that's really kind of bolstered me and kind of kept me going. Like people like yourself and just the messages and stuff that, you know, when you do share something out there, you know, one person saying, that made my day, or I'm sitting here reading this, you know, a girl texted me yesterday saying, I'm weeping over a coffee in Bewley's. I've just read this poem. And, you know, like, look, I'm sorry she was crying, but it meant a lot to me that it meant that it,
you know, you moved her.
So, yeah, so I'd say share it. Yeah, just share it. Like, be a bit fearless and share it. Yeah.
Would you say this year and this journey with poetry, I said that, I'm not supposed to use that word journey. This experience with poetry, do you think it's increased your confidence, Jan?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. And that's not something that I feel comfortable even saying. It's funny, isn't it? Like, the whole idea of being ambitious and being focused and moving towards it and saying, yeah, do you know what? I am going to write, and what I write is actually quite good. That sounds very confident saying it, but it doesn't feel tremendously confident getting it out in a way. Can I be two things at once? I think I can. Like, do you know, I think you can. I think you can be confident, but then equally be a bit, you know, terrified.
And I suppose the other thing is about poetry is, like, you know, you've Seamus Heaney, you've Patrick Kavanagh, you've, you know, all these names that we're used to learning in school. I mean, your story makes me think of Imelda May, who has an amazing book out at the moment too. Yeah. Again, full of really visceral kind of poetry that I think is very universal.
I sent Imelda an email actually to say, if you're ever doing a poetry gig and you need a support act,
this is great.
But then I was like, do poetry gigs have support?
Well,
acts?
They like, do now if you're inventing it. But I just think, again, like, we know Imelda for writing songs, but she's been writing poetry for years, I think, and it's wonderful to see her having that other outlet. So, yeah, it's just great when you start pulling that thread sometimes what can happen.
Yeah.
So tell us about writing this poem. This has got a very Christmassy theme, and I think it's a lovely one to send everyone off, whether they're wrapping their presents or whether you're taking the heads and tails off the old beautiful Brussels sprouts or whatever you're doing. Yeah, this will send you off in your merry way. But how did the inspiration for this one come?
Well, the kids were writing the letter to Santa, and, you know, it's quite nice. Actually, Willow was like, I don't really need anything. I'm going to ask him for an experience, you know. And then Theo was like, you just want, I don't know, Pokemon or something. And I just thought, well, what would I ask for? You know, or what would a mammy ask for? What are all the things you wish for in a day? You know, and then there's times, I think, you know, like, I'd sit in the kitchen and I might have a lovely cake and the kids will come in and it'll be broken and they'll eat all the bits and then I'm just left with the little bits at the end and you're like, it's lovely. you know, I'd be like, I just love a bit of time to have a cake of my own. So that was, I suppose, the inspiration was that, you know, what are all the things that, as a busy mom, a busy woman, you know, that you might ask Santa for, that he, if he could, you know, if he knew no bounds, and he could get anything that you wanted. It's a long list.
Good. Long list. Well, you know, Santa can do anything, so...
Yeah.
Take it away there, John.
Dear Santa, this Christmas, please can you bring all of the below? I've been mostly good this year. I've tried my best, even though I felt sometimes like that wasn't good enough. And I always help everyone around me before I help myself. I would like another pair of hands, eyes at the back of my head, a few extra hours in the day. Come to think of it, some extra hours in the night too, for sleeping. Patience. I ask God every day to grant me some, but he hasn't come through with them yet. There must be a shortage. That's why I'm asking you, Santa. Confidence. Just the normal confidence, please, Santa. The type that I can use every day, that won't run out. Not that new type. That type that makes you share pictures of yourself in your knickers and tell everyone that you love your flabby bits. A flat belly. Longer legs. Straighter teeth. Perky boobs that stand to attention without one of them bulletproof bras. A mascara that doesn't have to be washed off before you go to bed. A cleaner. A cook. A volume switch so I can turn everyone down and turn myself up. A voice that is heard. A lie-in. A night out, a day off, a hug that I don't have to ask for, a chat that I don't have to start, a way for my face not to tell everyone else what I really think. How old are you, Santa? Do you feel old? Do you work all year round? Are you always trying to figure out what other people want? I leave you a biscuit, Santa, and a Guinness. It's yours now. Don't divide the biscuit out to the little elves if they ask for some. Don't be giving them the bigger bits and you only take the crumbs. From Mam, Mammy, Ma, Mummy, Mum, Mother. I answer to all of these.
That's so interesting about the crumbs, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it...
Does that happen to you?
Yeah, well, no, because I'm not that mad about cake. I'd be more like wanting the extra chips or crisps or something like that. But yeah, it's interesting about don't leave yourself just with the crumbs. Take the bit that you deserve the bits. And I think that's a theme running through your poetry, actually, Jan. And something that sounds like you're coming to in your own self about, you know, taking, standing up and with intention, taking what you feel is there for you and not feeling ashamed of that.
Yeah. It's nice. You see it. It's probably easier for you to see it than me in a way. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I suppose it's just you do see it. And look, again, like I posted that on Instagram and I got messages from women who aren't moms. And they were like, yeah, all of those things. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sure some men maybe can kind of, you know, can completely get it as well. But yeah, I suppose, you know, there's definitely been an awakening this year for me. Mm. Definitely. And I found my voice.
Yeah.
So I just have to try and keep it now. Or turn the volume up.
Yeah, turn the volume up is a good one. So listen, Christmas is around the corner. What's it looking like for you? Do you love Christmas? Are you a Christmassy person?
So Christmas for me kind of kicks off my birthday, Janfest, which I had a little while ago. So that was great. And that always kind of like gets me, you know, it gets me kind of going. And I'll just go out to my mum and dad's, my husband and the kids, and we'll get fed and watered and sent home with turkey and ham in tin foil and all that kind of jazz.
Oh, I love it.
It's just time out, like, and just sharing time. Actually, it's just time. That's the other thing I've realised. The only thing that we have to give and the only thing that's great to get is a bit of time.
Exactly. And I think with this thing that is rumbling on 2 years later, we can't believe it. I mean, I remember last Christmas telling my daughters, oh, no, don't worry. Next Christmas we'll just be back to normal. I feel like... You know, such a like a liar, but I really believed it when I said it, you know.
I think we all did. Yeah.
But I think that's it. It's just the board games, it's the charades, it's the hanging out together and whatever presents end up under the tree, that's grand, but it really isn't. It's just about us all getting together and I know it's really cliched, but that's what I'm looking forward to. And not thinking about any work and not listening to the radio news.
No.
And putting the Christmas songs on and just hanging out and being together.
Yeah.
It's gonna be amazing, I hope.
It is. Yeah. God bless us one and all.
Exactly. Well, Jan Burton, thank you, poet extraordinaire. Thank you very much for coming into my bed office and sharing your lovely work. Yeah, we'll go and have a chill out. It's lovely to see you and thank you so much.
Thanks, Roisin.
That's all we have time for. Happy Christmas and thanks so much to Jan Burton, and her book is called What Day Is It? Who Gives a Fuck? And it would make a fantastic little last minute present for lots of people. Have a lovely Christmas. Have a great time. I hope you get to relax and enjoy yourself and try and escape a little bit from all the pandemic carry on.
do keep in touch with us on social at IT Women's Podcast. We're on Instagram, Twitter. We're on email, thewomenspodcast@irishtimes.com. That's it from me. And the podcast is produced by me, Roisin Ingle, by Suzanne Brennan and Jennifer Ryan, with JJ Vernon on sound. Mind yourselves. Happy Christmas. And I'll talk to you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.